Amen. I'm gonna preach fast, so I need you to listen fast. All right. Therefore, since through God's mercy, 2 Corinthians chapter 4 for the booth. Therefore, since through God's mercy we have this ministry, we do not lose heart. Amen. We do not lose heart. Rather, we have renounced secret and shameful ways. We do not use deception, nor do we distort the word of God. On the contrary, by setting forth the truth plainly, we commend ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. The God of this age, the God of this age, everybody hear that? The God of this age, the God of this world. Now this is a God in little g. The God of this world has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For we do not preach ourselves, but Jesus Christ is Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," made His light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. That was the introduction. Here's the message. Verse 7. But we have this treasure. We have this treasure in jars of clay. You may know what that means? In jars of clay. Tell me about jars of clay. They can be broken. They're okay. They can hold stuff, but they're not going to last forever. We have this treasure. What is the treasure? It's Christ. We have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. So how are jars of clay doing tonight? How you doing? It's a crazy time. I mean, you look around the world, you look around our nation, you look around the neighborhood, you look around town, and things are tough all over, aren't they? And yet we have this hope. We have this treasure in jars of clay. I want to encourage you tonight. I feel like a lot of times I'll tell her about how the sermon went, you know, or tell her about something I said. She said, "You said that?" You know, like when I say stuff about me, she's like, I can't believe anybody would even come to listen. You are a pagan." And y'all know that. That's true. That is a wonderful thing about being a pastor here. I don't have to act like anything. I'm who I am. And you know what? And if I acted like something else, would I fool you? Would you all think, "Well, Pastor Jamie just has his life together"? Would you think that? Hey. Go ahead and laugh, because I don't think you got it together either. All right? So we're in this together. You know why? Because we are jars of clay. And a few chapters later, now listen, let me tell you about this church in Corinth. Corinth is probably more like America than any other church mentioned in the New Testament. You see, Corinth had never known persecution. Corinth, man, they were living in a time where, hey, if you wanted to worship Jesus in Corinth, was that allowed? Yes, absolutely. Go ahead and worship Jesus. Or if you want to worship the sun or the moon or the stars or the trees or whatever you want to worship, if you're in Corinth, that's fine. You can do that. So it was a lot like America, isn't it? Let's just worship whatever we want, and you know, and everything's fine. You believe what you want and I'll believe what I want, and we'll just kind of coexist together. That's Corinth. And so the church in Corinth, they love Paul. And do y'all know anything about Paul? I mean, there were several times when Paul got hit upside the head with some stones because people got tired of listening to what he had to say. There was one time in particular Paul tells us about that they stoned him to death, so they thought, and they just left him under this pile of rocks, and they all walked away, and guess what happened? The rock started moving. And Paul said, "But I'm not dead yet." You know, you with me? Any Monty Python fans? Okay, never mind. That's all right. And Paul's, "I'm not dead." And Paul's telling the church at Corinth about how he was stoned to death. And they're all looked at him like, "What? That's crazy." Because here in Corinth, we can just worship Jesus and it's fine with everybody. And Paul's saying, "I want you to know something. We have this treasure in jars of clay." So my brother-in-law is talking to the doctor today. And the doctor told him, he said, "You know, I feel like that that I'm about 50% sure I can get this tumor out. But my brother-in-law, just, man, what God's been doing in his life is he's laid in the hospital, and Dr. Moss was the first one who got to be with him and minister to his family, and he shares the gospel today with this man who's caring for him. And the man just listened as my brother-in-law shared Jesus. Now I'm thinking, that's a jar of clay, isn't it? He's laying there. He doesn't know what's going to happen. He doesn't know what tomorrow holds, let alone a year from now. He doesn't know. But here's what he does know, that he's a jar of clay, and yet inside of him is a treasure, and he's going to share that. Tonight's message was supposed to be about service. And in some kind of way, I'm supposed to inspire you tonight. Do you feel inspired? I'm supposed to inspire you tonight to want to serve. I mean, to say, Lord, here I am, whatever you want, and you're supposed to line up at the end of the service and say, hey, I need to serve, you know, and I'm supposed to tell you, here's all these reasons, here's why you need to serve. It's just very, very simple. You were created for the glory of God, and when you serve, God is glorified. I can't tell you if you serve, everybody will appreciate it. I can't tell you if you serve that people are just going to say, wow, you're awesome. I mean, I haven't heard that ever. Thank you, Dan. Thank you. And it's not why we do that. It's not why we do that. Listen, God has already sent His Son Jesus to die on the cross so that our sin could be forgiven and we could live forever in heaven with Him. Paul's going to tell the Corinthians just a little bit later in chapter 12. He's going to say, I want you to know that in our weakness, His strength is perfect. In our weakness, His strength is perfect. Because we are jars of clay. We are jars of clay. I'm going to say we are weak, and that may offend somebody who thinks they're really strong. Just looking around, I think most of you have already weathered that storm, and you found out you're not strong. And any strength in you is because of Him. We are jars of clay. And the people we see every day at work, at home, and wherever you go, we're all just weak people. And here's what I mean by that. We are weak because we have no power to save ourselves. I want to ask you this question. Keith, you come. I had so many other profound things to share with you. But I want to share that with you because I want you to be encouraged tonight. That in your weakness, His strength is perfect. And as many times as I've blown it, as many times as I have done exactly the opposite of what God told me to do, you know what God did? You know what His response was? His response was grace. His response was still love. His response was just. And He would continue to just to draw me closer to Him. And so we serve because it brings glory to God. That's it. I mean, I could just tell you like 90 other reasons, but I mean, honestly, that's why. I think one of the guys said on the video, I serve because He asked me to. But it's deeper than that. The reason God created you was for His glory. And when you serve, He is glorified. So I don't think I need to remind us tonight that we are jars of clay. We see that in our lives. And for most of you, and me included, we've been alive long enough that we're not the only ones that know that we are jars of clay. Other people have seen that. And they've seen that weakness. And they've seen our failures. And they have seen where we have messed up. So you know what? They've seen that. But have they seen the glory of God in your life? Have you given Him the glory for drawing you back to Him? You see, because my brother-in-law, he could share the gospel, not because he was powerful, but he had an opportunity because he's weak. And he could share the gospel because it's not about what he had done or what you have done or what I have done, but it's about what Jesus has done. Because in our weakness, His strength is perfect. I want you to bow your heads. I don't want anybody looking around. I just want to ask a question. I don't do this a lot. But I want to ask you, why do you think you'd go to heaven tonight? Why do you think you'd go to heaven? I mean, if this was the end for you, why do you think you'd go? And then I want to share with you lovingly that if you have any answer other than Jesus has saved me, His blood made it possible for my sin to be forgiven, if you have any other answer, I want to share with you lovingly, there's no other way to go. There's no other way except because of what He has done. And some might be here tonight and saying, yeah, but I've messed up and I've struggled. Yeah, you're a jar of clay like all of us. And I'm sure you have fallen. I'm sure you have sinned. I'm sure you've done what you shouldn't do. That's what all of us have done. The Bible says that. That we all like sheep have gone astray. Each of us turned to our own way. But the good news of the gospel is that the gospel is not about us. It's about God. If you're here tonight and you don't have a relationship with Jesus, or if you're here tonight and you just weren't sure how to answer that question, I'm going to ask you to lift your hand real quick and put it right back down. Okay? Anybody else? Okay? Several of you raised your hand tonight, and I want to encourage you. Salvation is a work of God, not a work of us. We don't partner with God to save us. God saves us. And the Bible says that we confess with our mouths that Jesus is Lord. We believe in our hearts that God had raised Him from the dead. Believing those things, knowing them to be true. Asking God to forgive us for our sin. Inviting Him into our lives. It's merely accepting the free gift that God offers. If you raise your hand, I'm going to invite you tonight. We're going to have a time of altar. There'll be a lot of folks come to pray tonight. As I pray, a lot of you are going to respond to the word that God spoke to us so powerfully to draw closer to Him. And I'd invite you to come to this altar tonight. If you raise your hand, I'd invite you to come to this altar and talk to myself or Pastor Jeff or Pastor David. And we'd love to talk with you and to pray with you. So, Father, here we are, jars of clay. Thank You for the treasure that You have put inside of us. And I pray for those, Father, who've yet to have the treasure. And I pray tonight that You would save people. So I thank You that in our weakness, as much as my weakness aggravates me and frustrates me, Father, I thank You that in that weakness that I despise, in that weakness, Your strength is perfect. It's perfect. So we love You, Lord. It's in Your name we pray. Let's stand together. The altar is open. You come.